This week, Thaksin Shinawatra, the self-made billionaire who was Prime Minister of Thailand from 2001 to 2006, was released from prison. Before that, Thaksin had spent over 15 years in exile after being deposed by a coup. He returned to Thailand in 2023 on the day that his Per Thai party formed a new government. But he was then sentenced to a year in prison for alleged corruption and abuses of power while he was Prime Minister. The BBC marked Thaksin's release this week by saying that the past 25 years in Thailand could reasonably be called the Thaksin era, but that that era is almost certainly over. Matas Lohat Tapanon writes the Thai politics and policy substack, The Coffee Parliament, and he joins us now from Bangkok. Welcome, Matas.
Hello, Julian. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Could we begin by hearing, please, a brief overview of the Thaksin story, in particular, his rise to and then fall from political power?
So the BBC is very much correct in saying that the past two decades, and in fact more, almost three decades now, of Thai politics has reasonably been called the Thaksin era. Thai politics has revolved very much around his personality in the past 26 years. Ever since he won a general election for the first time in 2001, when his Thai Rak Thai party won a landslide victory in the wake of the Asian financial crisis. Thaksin's first government managed to win a reputation for policy delivery. He implemented popular policies such as universal health care in Thailand, and he was rewarded with another big majority in 2005. However, opposition to him and corruption allegations of abuses of power, as you mentioned, began to rise, and it was eventually posed in a military coup in 2006, after which he left the country in self-imposed exile. His parties have since won a general election in 2007, they won an election in 2011, and they received the most seats in 2019, although they didn't form a government. It is only in 2023 that Thaksin's electoral hold in Thailand has begun to slip. In 2023, for the first time, his party didn't win the most seats. They slipped to second place. But a grand compromise that Thaksin was able to forge with his former conservative foes in Thailand allowed him to form a government. And as you say, he was able to return to Thailand. However, this government fell apart in 2025 after an incendiary phone call between his daughter, former Prime Minister Palanthai Shinawat, and Cambodia's Senate President Hun Sen was released. This phone call was extremely controversial, and the Constitutional Court ruled that it actually violated ethical standards in Thailand, which, according to the Constitution, would depose a Prime Minister from power. So she was removed. The current Phumzethai government was able to come to power, and Thaksin has spent the past year, well, less than a year, behind bars. The reason that he's had to go back to prison is interesting. In 2023, when Thaksin came back, he spent his prison sentence in a hospital in Bangkok.
Described, I think, as a VIP police prison or something like that. Is that right?
Yes, it was a police general hospital. He claimed illness, and so he spent his prison sentence there. And then after he was released, he experienced a pretty miraculous recovery.
All right, yeah.
And so the court ruled last year that the prison sentence had not been served properly. And so he had to redo his sentence in prison.
That's fascinating. Thank you for that background, Matas. Because I think the name that you used for Thaksin's party when he was first elected isn't Per Thai. How has the party changed over the years and why?
That's right. That's a great observation. So his first party was a Thai Rak Thai party, but the Thai Rak Thai party was dissolved in 2006 in the wake of the military coup. And well, Thaksin had to form a new party. His associates formed a new party called the People's Power Party that then won the 2007 general election. But a legal case against them also led to its dissolution. Since about 2008, the party that has been carrying on Thaksin's political ambitions has been the Per Thai Party. Of course, technically, Thaksin is not a member of the Per Thai Party. He is not its leader. But in 2011, the party actually ran in a very explicit electoral pledge. They put up banners all over the country saying Thaksin thinks and Per Thai acts. So there's no secret, really, that Thaksin is in some ways the party's spiritual leader. So Per Thai has been, for the most part, an opposition party for most of the past few years, except for between 2011 and 2014, when Thaksin's sister, Jin Lakshin, was prime minister. And then again between 2023 and 2025, when first the business magnate Chee Tae Tseun was prime minister, and then Thaksin's daughter, Pa Dong Tan Shewat, became prime minister as his replacement. In that time, the Pheu Thai party has become well known for what people would describe as its economically populist policies, promising things like economic handouts, increasing social benefits. Critics say that this is evidence of fiscal indiscipline, but supporters would say that this is simply the party trying to increase Thailand's social safety net. In recent years, however, the party's economic appeal has begun waning, as other parties have also started copying many of their proposals. In 2023, they ran on an eye-catching pledge to give every Thai above the age of 18 10,000 baht each. In the end, they couldn't quite enact this policy in power. And then in the last election, they actually promised this new millionaire-making policy where they would give 1 million baht to 9 people a day in Thailand. I've done the math. I think this works out to about 42,000 Australian dollars. So Pheu Thai didn't do very well in the last election, so this pledge probably was not as attractive as they might have hoped.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Mattis Lohat Tapanon, and Mattis creates the Substack, The Coffee Parliament, which is all about Thai politics. So Mattis, Thai politics has changed quite a lot while Thaksin was in prison, albeit for a brief time. What is the current state of play with the Pheu Thai party?
The Pheu Thai party is definitely in the weakest state that it has ever been since Thaksin formed his original incarnation, the Thai Rak Thai party, in the early 21st century. So Pheu Thai's vote share has been sharply diminished. In 2011, when it won its last landslide victory, it had received about 47% of the party list votes. Actually, I should probably explain that Thailand has a dual electoral system. So there's both a constituency system, and then there is a proportional system. So the proportional system, they had won almost 50% of the vote. And in the constituency system in 2011, they had won about 43% of the vote. By 2026, the party list vote had declined to only about 15% of the vote. And the constituency vote share had declined to 70% of the vote. So that's a massive decrease for what was once Thailand's most popular party. And for the first time ever, Pheu Thai has been reduced to the third largest party. It is now a junior member of the Phum Chai Thai party-led government coalition. This is a role that the party has never had to play before. It's always been the biggest party in the coalition, and it actually remains to be seen whether or not Pheu Thai can actually stand out as a junior coalition partner.
Yeah, so that is interesting that it's now in government, but as a junior coalition partner. It sounds like the jury's still out on that performance, but could you give us your sense of how relations between the majority coalition partner and Pheu Thai have fared so far?
The current leader of the government coalition is the Phum Chai Thai party, which is a conservative party. They had come to power last year after the fall of the previous Pheu Thai government, and actually one of the big causes of the fall of the Pheu Thai government had been deteriorating relations between Pheu Thai and Phum Chai Thai. Thaksin had demanded the return of the Ministry of Interior, which was then controlled by Phum Chai Thai, as a junior member of the Pheu Thai-led coalition, and Phum Chai Thai refused, and as a result, left the government. Phum Chai Thai also said that they left the government because of their opposition to what Pa Dong Tan had said to Hun Sen in her controversial phone call. Since then, there has been electoral competition, of course, but Phum Chai Thai's victory in this year's election in February was a big victory, but was not sufficient for Pheu Thai to form a government on its own. It needed coalition partners. And so there has been a reconciliation between Phum Chai Thai and Pheu Thai. That said, Phum Chai Thai has been careful to essentially keep the ministries that are to do with managing the economy for itself, while Pheu Thai has received mostly ministries that are to do with social development, things like education, labor, human security, higher education. There's also agriculture, which is actually quite important in Thailand, given the economy is dependent on agriculture. But mostly, Pheu Thai has not been given the ministries in which it has been known before for its economic management or for its policy delivery. So that's another challenge that Pheu Thai will have to navigate.
You mentioned that memorable election slogan earlier, Thaksin speaks and Pheu Thai acts. Mattis, in 2026, is it still the case that if Thaksin speaks, Pheu Thai acts?
Right now, we actually don't really have a good sense yet of what Thaksin plans to do with his future. I would never count him out. He's the most resilient player in Thai politics in some ways. His parties have survived military coups. Many have forgotten this, but in 1996, when he was a member of another party, that party had been reduced to only one seat. But then Thaksin came back with a new party and won the biggest majority seen yet in Thailand in 2001. But at this point, Thaksin is also 76 years old, and one wonders if the world has begun to pass him by. There are many new players. It's worth wondering, you know, if he still possesses that capacity for self-reinvention as before. And Pruthai for now says that Thaksin will not be taking on any formal role within the party, that he would not become an advisor. But of course, Thaksin also didn't have a formal role with Pruthai before the cider, when he often made a lot of public pronouncements about policy when his daughter was prime minister. So we don't know if he's going to have a change of plans. His past record shows that he will probably want to stay involved in some way, but the extent of that involvement remains to be seen.
The pattern that you described with Thaksin's parties having electoral success, but then being dissolved after decisions by the Constitutional Court, has continued with another new political phenomenon, which at various different times has been called Future Forward or Move Forward. Is there any sense that that trend in Thai politics might change at all, and that the role of both the monarchy and the military will be in any way reduced?
So actually right now we have a government that is led by Prum Chai Thai, which is a conservative party. And so in many ways, we're actually right now expecting perhaps the most stable government that we have seen in the last few years. Prum Chai Thai, although it doesn't have a majority on its own, is a large enough force now in parliament to be able to dominate the new government. They enjoy a Senate that is widely seen as friendly to them as well. So actually the risks right now of a party dissolution when it comes to Prum Chai Thai is actually very low. We can probably expect a lot more stability now than we have seen when the anti-establishment parties like Pruthai or Move Forward Now People's Party won previous general elections.
The 2026 election result was Pruthai's worst so far, but it did also produce what you called the biggest popular mandate in Thai history in a constitutional referendum. What was that referendum about, and what's happened to the constitution since the referendum?
So to understand this referendum, we have to go back to last year when the Pruthai government fell. At that point, Pruthai tried to nominate a new prime minister, but the Prum Chai Thai party made an unexpected arrangement with the opposition People's Party, where they forged a supply and confidence agreement, where the People's Party agreed to support Prum Chai Thai in forming government without entering that government itself. And in return, Prum Chai Thai had to make a number of concessions, one of which was the delivery of a constitutional referendum, because the People's Party believes that the current Thai political system should be reformed and that that should begin with the drafting of a new constitution. The current constitution, of course, was drafted under the military government that had taken power after the 2014 military coup. So Prum Chai Thai delivered on that promise. In fact, their election slogan is, "We do as we say." So they had to deliver on on what they had promised to the People's Party. And indeed, the Thai people did end up voting to draft a new constitution. However, the process to actually get a new constitution written up and approved is tricky. There will have to be two more referenda to approve any draft. So once there is an agreement on who should be drafting this new constitution, but the mechanisms to do so, the Thai people will have to then vote to approve this mechanism, and then they have to vote again to approve the final draft that's been produced. So it's a long and winding road to producing a new constitution. And thus far, the Prum Chai Thai government, which has never really been a major proponent of constitutional reform, no longer seems very interested in pursuing this as a priority. And Nitin says, of course, that given that there's a big popular mandate, he will have to deliver. But some members of his government have said that things like economic management takes priority right now. And so things look like they could be delayed.
So clearly there was a strong popular mandate for constitutional reform, but it sounds like not to the extent of identifying exactly what the constitutional reform will be. Given that slow process and the conservative government in power now, what prospect do you think there is, Mathis, for a substantive constitutional change that might make it possible for the progressive side of politics to hold power in a way that it hasn't been able to in recent decades?
I don't think that the prospect for a major constitutional change right now seems very high. For one, the Punjatan government, even if they do end up pursuing constitutional reform, is probably not going to be interested in the type of constitutional reform that favors a party like the People's Party, for example. So if you asked me, the chances of that happening are probably not high. But at the same time, right now, it's actually a lot more difficult for anyone to prevent a party from taking power if they do end up winning the next election. Part of the reason that the People's Party, well, then the Move Forward Party, had been scuttled in 2023 was because there was still a clause in the Constitution that said that the appointed Senate could join with the elected lower house in selecting a prime minister. And so this allowed the military appointed Senate to back Pua Thai instead of the Move Forward Party. That clause in the Constitution has now expired. And if the People's Party does win the next election, it would be very difficult for any force to prevent them from actually taking power. The only problem, of course, is that they did not win the 2026 general election. So in a way, it's no longer these constitutional bodies preventing them from taking power, but simply the fact that they don't have enough votes.
Matas, thank you so much for joining us. Just finally, why is it that your Substack about Thai politics and policy is called The Coffee Parliament?
That's a great question. In Thailand, we often call, you know, people gathering around in coffee shops to talk politics. We call them coffee parliaments. And, you know, because it's a bit like you're holding up your mini debate in a coffee shop. And so I decided, you know, probably a fun name to name a Substack on Thai politics. Although the past busy year in Thailand has not been very casual or very fun in a way that a name Coffee Parliament would suggest. But thank you, Julian, for reading.
And thank you very much, Matas, for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you, Julian, for having me.
Matas Lohat Taipanon is the author of The Coffee Parliament, the Thai Politics and Policy Substack. And Matas is also doing a PhD in political science on Thai party politics at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.